Welcome to Real Flicks Reviews Movie News. This week we have Jonathan Charney, James Stevens, and Ryan Preston. And here's this week's question. Great actor or actress who made a poor choice or movie role?
Yeah.
And our answers in a bit.
So we want to give a little shout out to Nelson Ellis, who passed away on the 8th of this month to heart complications.
And he was 39.
Yeah,
right?
He was 39.
He was super
really young.
I
gotta say, I really enjoyed this guy's acting, especially as Lafayette in True Blood. I've never seen, I don't think they could have made a better choice than this guy for that role. Amazing actor. I mean, even a he went to Juilliard. I mean, not very many young actors would even bother going to Juilliard these days. And he was even known for helping homeless people and just going out and doing a lot of good stuff.
So our condolences to his friends, family, and fans.
Yeah. We don't want to get into his whole what happened with it, but you guys can look that up. It's finally been released.
So, you know, let's go straight into it. We're going to complain about Castlevania. I have yet to see it, even though it's this week. It's this coming week's pick. 4 episodes?
Yeah.
Seriously? I mean, did somebody make a drunk decision to go, yes? Did you run out of source material?
How do you run out of source material in Castlevania?
It's
all written for you.
I am kind of surprised it's only 4 episodes. It could be one of these things that they want to see how well it's going to do before they make more.
You know, I mean,
is it an OVA, though? I mean, this really could be something that was designed from the get-go to be a short couple episodes. It's not unheard of. It's common in anime.
As far as I'm concerned, the Netflix really didn't go out of their way to market this film or this show. This was mostly marketed, as far as I've seen, by fans and comic book sources and everything.
I think we should call it a miniseries.
Yeah, I guess we call it a miniseries. But, I mean, they're supposed to be more than just one season. I just think it was a stupid maneuver by Netflix, especially for how long they were dragging out the publicity on it.
I am curious to see the reason why. I mean, it doesn't really matter because it's already 4 episodes, but I am curious on why they did what they did, because it just seems a weird choice for me.
That's pretty much where I'm at with it. I'm just like, there has to be a reason that they were nervous, or the series only warranted 4. I don't know.
See, because
I'd like to hear an explanation.
Well, I mean, they do have a pending season 2 out that they're pushing out for 2018, which I think is another bad idea by you, Netflix. I mean,
see, my first couple of guesses is A, it's a miniseries they only designed to, or B, it was designed to be a short series just to test the waters, because you're getting into video game territory, and historically anything to do with video games, where you're talking cartoons or live action, generally don't do well. I don't even know how well the Assassin's Creed movie did, because it kind of disappeared from theaters pretty quick.
Oh, yeah, fast.
It was terrible.
So that's the thing is, I don't blame them for being a little cautious. I mean, Dragon Age has a cartoon. I liked it, but I don't know too many people actually saw it, and Dragon Age is one of my favorite games. You had Uwe's Boll Wing Commander, which we did, and that movie sucked.
We got all the Halo films that got released, too.
Yeah, but that was all Microsoft done, though.
Yeah.
So it's really hard when you have the people who own the content and do it that way. I think it's a little different, but none of it was released in theaters. This is all stuff that was either
released straight to DVD
or through
digital
the game.
Release, yeah.
So I know, I just think that's a little hard.
But Netflix has a huge anime section.
It's actually dwindled.
I'm talking Netflix, all of it.
No.
Not just the streaming now, but also the disc and everything.
Okay. I don't actually have
anime collection.
I only have Instant Watch, so.
But, I mean, they should know how big of a market this is off of the. I mean, they have millions of subscribers that aren't just stream now, or, you know, you also have.
See,
they should have stats and data.
Here's the issue. I think Netflix is actually having a hard time competing with Crunchyroll. I actually have a subscription, but it's like $7-$8 a month, and sometimes it's actually simulcast from, you know, live, yet it's simulcast to America. So I do think they have a hard time with that. No, I think what they would be better in if they actually put stuff, older anime, in their catalog, which they don't do. Green Legend Ran, for example, is a great anime, and I don't know too many people at this point in time who know what it is.
All right.
I did just want to say another... it's another death, unfortunately. The wife of comic legend Stan Lee. The only reason why I am bringing this up is because Stan Lee is a legend in anything, comic books, especially in television and movies, and our sincere condolences to the loss of his wife.
Yeah. Did you say how long they were married?
They were, she died at 93.
114 years.
She died.
Seems
at,
right.
She died at 93. I don't, you know, I didn't actually look that up, but as far as I know, they were married for a while. And we're going to switch off to another topic. Going to go, what the fuck is CFE thinking? Sci-Fi is working on a made-for-TV Deep Blue Sea sequel. Just what everybody was calling for 20 years later.
Have they just become Troma? Is that what they're doing now?
Well, they've always kind of been Troma, but I think they were Troma with a higher budget and the same writers.
Well, I was going to say maybe Troma finally got on their game and actually bought them.
Because, like, my favorite examples, if you look at their TV, the made-for-TV version of Dune, there's a scene where they're walking in a desert, and it's a rear projection. Because you see them doing the old fake walking, the da-da-da-da, hey, how you doing, Bob? You know, and I couldn't watch it after that. So they're kind of known for that, honestly.
I mean, I could see Lloyd Kaufman finally have enough money to just go out and buy CV. I mean, it's right up his alley. I mean, that's one of the founders of Troma, if you guys don't know, out there, little digital world.
I just, I hope so. Because there's no reason why it's going to be so bad.
I don't know. You also have Mr. Tarantino saying that he's going to take up basically a biopic, not really a biopic of Charles Manson, but the family, the Manson family murders that happened. That was the big reason why Charles Manson got locked up.
So is it going to be?
Wait, is he producing it or is he writing it?
He is putting it together. This is written by Tarantino, and he's got the Weinsteins on his side and putting this whole thing out.
So this is this a biopic, or is this going to be the Hollywood spin? Because if it's a biopic,
I think it might be. More, well, I mean, it's written by Tarantino himself, so you're not really sure if it's going to be a biopic or if it's just going to be like a telling of the murders. I'm not sure.
I'd love to see Tarantino do a biopic just because it's something he's never done.
Yeah,
I would love to see how he would do that because for him that's way outside of his wheelhouse.
Yeah, I've never seen him do anything like this. So it's an interesting thing. The title's not even out yet. He's in talks with A-list actors to be on board with this, but
we know at least one actor who's going to be in this movie.
Oh yeah, oh of course.
Even if we're not sure what part he's going to play.
Him?
Who is not down for a Brad Pitt? Charles Manson.
I was actually talking about Samuel Jackson.
Well, yeah. Of course.
Well, and Uma.
But he can be anybody.
Yeah.
I'm just saying his current love affair with what's his face? Brad Pitt.
No.
Oh.
I don't know if I talked about this last week. I don't remember. Or a couple of weeks ago. There's going to be a reboot for a TV series of Tremors starring Kevin Bacon.
I'm not surprised.
I don't know if you guys watched. There was a TV version. There was there was a TV series for Tremors that was short-lived.
God, yeah,
I really liked it, but it took the Tremors campy and ridiculousness to a whole new level.
Well, I think we're in a new age of camp. So and especially Kevin Bacon being on board when he doesn't have to do shit like this.
Yeah,
I'm excited to see it.
Honestly, I think he's doing it. I think he's doing it because he just wants to. I think he's at the part in his career that he can just decide to do things for no reason, which is my favorite things for actors. Like there was a part when Tom Cruise did The Last Samurai and Minority Report. Yeah. You were thinking he was getting a career where he was going to stretch his wings, and he did like 12 versions of Mission Impossible. But there's a section in his career that I was really excited to see what he did next.
Yeah, I would say. I mean, I think it kind of petered out once he took on Vanilla Sky. I think that was him saying,
he's had so many ebbs and flows for his career, man.
He really has.
See, I didn't really like Vanilla Sky, but I thought for him, that was a risk because that movie was just so different.
Bizarre?
Yes. I was trying to be nice, but yes. It was bizarre for the short one.
I mean, bizarre is not inherently bad. You know?
This is true. And so, ladies and gentlemen, you can catch all the update news on Real Flix Reviews, including movie news, on facebook.com/RealFlixReviews. You can also catch us on iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, and more. And so the question of the week is, great actors or actresses who made a poor choice in or role or movie choice? And I'm going to say, mine's a little bit of a caveat, but I'd say Jodie Foster in Taxi Driver.
Oh.
I do think, though, this is one of the reasons she's around, because I think it jump-started her career. I think it's a stupid movie, but Jodie Foster historically has been one of my all-time favorite actresses.
She was so young, though. I mean, can you really throw that in her career? I mean,
I think it was one of the reasons that did jumpstart her career. I think people were looking at her going, let's see what she can do. Because, you know, if you get set as a young actor, if you do it right, the transition, you can make a lot of money as an adult. It just doesn't happen very often.
No, it really doesn't. I mean, yeah, it really doesn't. All right, Ryan, I'm going to have you go, because I know my pick is just going to send you on a tirade.
Well, I all of a sudden, I'm starting to think we got the same one.
Okay. Go,
but
go.
I'm glad I'm going first. This dude was old and fucking knew better. George Clooney, Batman and Robin.
I will agree with you on that. I mean, that was a really horrible film, but mine tops yours.
And he's publicly said, I think almost every public appearance since then, hey, I'm sorry for Batman and Robin.
Yeah, he actually said, I almost killed Batman and Robin. I personally, and I don't have proof of this, I think there were so many zeros attached to that he said, I have to. Because there's no excuse for those movies.
Are you ready for me to send Ryan on a tirade? All right. This one is actually a recent film. This actually came out 2 years ago, I believe. Let me just double check. Yes, 2 years ago this film came out. There was a lot of media buzz about this one. And then once it came out, you hear crickets.
God, you're stretching this.
And a fantastic actor. Done a lot of good things. And we have to applaud him for being Wolverine for so long. Hugh Jackman decided to go and basically, I guess, be Captain Hook
in
Pan.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
And, I mean, like, smells like Teen Spirit and Blitzkrieg Bop.
So, but before Ryan gets into his tirade, I do want to say that this movie was universally panned everywhere. I don't remember reading any reviews of this that were positive besides WTF. Just,
okay.
So with that being said,
dude,
Ryan.
Hugh Jackman had just infinite chances to back out of this gracefully. Okay. At the pitch meeting, when they told him, hey, we got this idea, he should have said, hey, listen, I got other shit to do. when he actually got a hold of the script and then it said, here's where the song starts, he'd have been like, okay, yeah, listen, I don't necessarily know about this. But
he was in, like, Oklahoma, so he does like singing.
Okay, fair enough. Hey, you like musicals, you're thinking, all right, but hey, it's contemporary, what the fuck are you thinking, but whatever, overlooked. When he gets to the wardrobe scene, though.
Oh, God.
He says, hey, this is what you're going to be wearing. How do you not run for the fucking hills, man?
Oh.
Just, I don't know how many trucks they backed up to his house to get him to this movie, just packed full of money, but...
And this was Pan.
Oh, man.
Yes, Pan, 2015. Oh.
So to add a little bit more...
And you know what? Hold on a second.
This is a 5.8 rating on IMDb.
I wouldn't be so pissed off if he wasn't such an amazing fucking actor.
Oh, I know. I mean, I was kind of excited to see Hugh Jackman take on Hook. I mean, I really was.
So to prove how bad this movie was, it had a budget of roughly $150 million.
Holy
opening weekend in the U.S. was $15,315,435. Gross worldwide was $116,564,808. They did not make any of their money back. That's how bad. And this is Hugh fucking Jackman.
Oh, yeah.
There's not a lot of movies he could be in that wouldn't make any money, and this was the one movie that didn't make any money.
Oh, yeah. Oh, this thing just...
And I was looking forward to it. I actually was cool, a Peter Pan movie. This will be awesome. This
movie, as soon as they started seeing Smells Like Teen Spirit, I was like...
I had to look away.
This movie tanked harder than RoboCop 3.
I haven't had to look away from a fucking movie screen since the needle scene from Saw.
So make me look away.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to let Ryan stew in that particular pot. Well, any of you guys...
How good was that pick, Ryan?
How good was the what?
How good was that pick of movie?
Yeah. That definitely works.
So were any of you fans of the movie, the TV show Psych?
No.
Ryan?
Yeah.
Not really.
So Ric Flair's daughter, Charlotte, is going to be cast as the villain in the Psych movie.
They're making a movie?
Apparently. And this is with Charlotte Flair, who is a current WWE superstar and real-life daughter of Ric Flair.
Her face kind of looks like Ric Flair.
wow, I was expecting somebody to be excited. Apparently not.
No. Yeah, I don't understand. I mean, are the kids clamoring for a Psych movie?
I guess.
I don't get that.
So in real life,
it seems like the kind of thing that like the 58-year-old, 60-year-old, I don't mean to ageist over here, but you know, old women would watch, like, oh, I got to watch my stories.
So in
like Matlock.
Right. It's like Matlock. Thank you. I didn't mean to offend every old woman out there. I'm sorry.
I would rather have a Matlock movie and have them dig up the guy and still be better than any of the Psych movie TV show. I'm sorry. I've never watched it. I never even tried. I know people who like it, but not a lot. I think it might be like one of those things that most people are like, oh, no, I don't like it. Is it on yet? You know?
All I hear is Abe Simpson yelling Matlock right now.
That's why I said it, because that's what was going on in my head. Matlock.
God. Jeez. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. I'm looking up.
He's looking at something. So
there's an anime Assassin's Creed series in the works.
I'd be down with that. I mean,
here's my thought, and this is my honest to God personal thought. I haven't liked any of the video games after the second one. The one in the Revolutionary War, the character was so fucking annoying. I didn't actually finish the game because I couldn't stand him. The pirate one, I hated the ship mechanic. I want to see the TV show because I really like the actor. I just don't know. I think this is one of the video games that's just not conducive to being told in a different medium. I really do think that.
Well, I definitely thought they were going to be going a different, slightly different direction with the game series in general. I liked the game mechanics for Black Sails because that's the only fucking ship game mechanics I've ever played. So I got nothing to compare it to. But the movie was just, I can't even believe somebody put that together.
Really? I haven't seen the movie yet.
They might have a different take on the whole thing, which I can get behind their sensibility with stuff like that.
I mean, I've heard so many bad things about the live action movie that it's almost going to be painful for me to watch just so I can.
Oh, it's awful.
Well, see, the problem for me is I've read so much about it, and usually that's not a hard thing, but I have so many biases towards the games after the second one. So I'm going to have to force myself to watch it because I really do love.
I'll tell you what, watching it made me just really happy they've never made the Splinter Cell movie.
Oh, God. Wow. That's saying a lot, actually.
Yeah.
Wow, now I'm depressed. Guardians of the Galaxy job, 2 Ryan. Is going to be Disney's first 4K Blu-ray release. Don't care.
Yeah, I don't really care either.
I like Blu-ray. I like Blu-ray. I like 4K. Besides the fact the cheapest 4K player I've found right now is still like $200. I'm not interested in that movie. How about re-releasing the Apple Dumpling Gang in 4K? Something, you know, I grew up watching.
Mako Jaws of Death.
I'm not quite sure if that's going to happen.
I'm not sure how many people out there has even seen that film.
What film are we talking about again?
Mako Jaws of Death.
Oh.
So I have a question for
you. Yeah, that's random.
Robert Downey Jr. doesn't want to overstay his welcome in the MCU universe. I would say he's the only actor to me that he could, that I think he could stay as long as you, he wants, because to me, he's Tony Stark. I think you could replace Chris Evans. I think you could replace Johnson, Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah, you could really replace Scarlett Johansson. Do it, please.
Oh, come on.
Samuel L. Jackson, I actually really like as Nick Fury. But there's not a lot of people in there that I care one way or another about. But Robert Downey Jr., I hope he stays for the long haul.
Okay, I can see where he's coming from, right? I mean, people like Sam Jackson, they pop in and out. He can do that for 25 more movies, and it's not a problem. He's Nick Fury till he's dead, okay? But Tony Stark, that's the character that has to hold all these movies together. You know, so he's literally the one, you know, I'm sure he's first on the call sheet, you know, between him and Chris Hemsworth. You know, they're there the longest. And he's literally holding these movies. So if the movie sucks, and Downey is the type of dude who's going to want to go out on top. Yeah. You know, so I can totally respect that.
Oh, no, so can I. He's like one of the few characters that I actually really like in those movies, besides Doctor Strange. Everybody else is just kind of, I don't care. I really don't care about any of the characters. I like Samuel L. Jackson's character I care about, and Tony I like just because he's such a neurotic character, and he's played so well.
Yeah.
It really is what it comes down to me. Like, which, you know, good or bad, he's really the only character I like.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's done a great job with his acting career the past 10 years.
And he's made a fucking fortune off these movies. I mean, he's made a ton.
I'd kind of, like, be a bit disappointed if he walked off.
So, rumor has it...
I'd be sad, but, you know, I'd respect it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Rumor has it that the next Avengers movie is going to be his swan song in the MCU. I don't know. The only thing is, I want to know who they're going to pick to replace him, because that's going to be a hard person to pick, because those are really big shoes.
I think it'd probably be the best option if they just retired the character.
Yeah, well, they'd have tough. To retire it for a while.
Yeah, that's tough to do, but I think they should do it so that they're not doing what they did with the Hulk.
Well, what
you
if
know,
they,
which nobody had done a great job with the Hulk to begin with, but to have a character or a actor who's taken this role so far and so done it so well, I think it would be one of those that they, like Ryan said, they would have to retire it for quite a while before they had somebody else who could take it over.
No, I haven't read the comics, but allegedly the comics is a new female Iron Man. What if they just spin it off like Tony Stark's in the background and somebody else is in the control of the suit?
All right. Yeah, that would work. I don't know how that would work for Robert if he wants to do it, though.
I don't know. I'm just interested to say it. What do you think, Ryan? Ryan?
What do I think about? I see. Yeah, yeah. I'm good with that. I mean, you know, like he passes on the reins to somebody the show. Like,
yeah,
because it's anymore, but hey, you seem to be whatever.
Yeah, like my idea would be he'd be like the mechanic. He'd be the Oracle type character. He'd be in the background doing things, fixing the suits, but he's too beat up for whatever reason or too neurotic to be able to control the suit. Kind of like the guy who handed over the Ant-Man suit.
You know, here's the thing, man. Comic books, especially these characters, I mean, Batman's been around like 80 years.
Yep.
You know, so there's always going to be new people that are going to play these people because comic books, they're evergreen. You know, you read episode whatever of Iron Man, and he still looks the same, you know? He still looks the same as episode or issue one and issue 10,000. You know, so the character's still the same. So with movies, you're at this disadvantage where whatever 10 years, no matter how much the character is loved, you got to move on.
See, here's my thought, though. Like, after watching every single Batman movie, I don't think I ever remember anybody who I thought played Batman perfectly. When it was Michael Keaton, I thought, oh, Michael Keaton's the only Batman. But even then, he's like, it's just not great. To me, after reading the Iron Man comic books over the years, that's Robert Downey Jr. I mean, to the T, to me, the way he plays it.
Yeah.
I mean, so I think you guys are right. I think the only way to do it is retire the character for a while and then you know, have some just zoom across the screen in an action movie type of thing.
Yeah.
Well, I would have to imagine that when Marvel and the studios were making their, you know, whatever 50-year plan of the next 900 movies they're going to make, I have to imagine that they had a conversation with these people like, hey, how long do you see yourself playing this character? Can we keep throwing money at you to do it? You know, so I'm sure there was kind of an established thing. Well, like, hey, look, I'd probably do a couple more and then move on. Or like he said, he doesn't want to overstay his welcome. So they have to have a contingency as far as like how far the movie universe is going to go. Yeah. Or when this whole comic book era of film is going to stop.
By the way, I have to give mad props for Robert Downey Jr., though. There's not a lot of actors or actresses that are like, have I overstayed it? I mean, that's... I actually think that's pretty badass. He's basically giving up money.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Oh, he's... I don't know. He's fine.
Well, I know, but I mean, that's not a lot of actors or actresses would... I personally think would care. I mean, even though... Like, look at Nick Cage, for example. Even though the guy's made horrible financial choices, or Ron Perlman. He's the man who can never say fucking no to anything. But so I think it's kind of cool. But on the other hand, that's Ron Perlman's shtick. So I think you can kind of leave it or take it. So, So, ladies and gentlemen, for Jonathan Charney, James Stevens, and Ryan Preston, as always, thank you for listening.